بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. ثم بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. فقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال تعالى: يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم: ان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers, sisters, elders, this is the first Ramadan, first Jum'ah in Ramadan al-Kareem. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this whole month with good health, with good iman, and to help us to strengthen our iman by using the method of fasting to inculcate taqwa in our hearts. I remind myself and you that Ramadan al-Kareem is the month of self-reflection and introspection with the intention of getting our lives back on track. Our life is a journey which we hope will end in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, for Jannatul Firdaus bi ghairi hisab. Our parents, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, came from Jannah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to the earth, He gave them the key to return home to Jannah, which is istighfar. They said to Allah, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Which means, they said, our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves. If you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will certainly be the losers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His forgiveness. To make istighfar and tawbah is to acknowledge that we have a Creator, that we have a Rabb, and to accept that we need Him to be pleased with us in all matters, and therefore we humble ourselves before Him and seek His pardon. This is the key to Jannah, because istighfar and tawbah is the first step to develop taqwa. The mistake that our parents Adam and Hawa alayhi salam made was to give precedence to their desire over the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not deny Allah, but in that one instance only, they denied the superiority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will over their own desire. To give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will its due place as being superior to anything and everything that we may wish for is the essence of taqwa. A single instance of neglect caused our parents to lose Jannah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the key to return, which is istighfar. I begin with this primordial and fundamental incident because it is such a powerful message for us about where we need to start to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you, it is never too soon and it is never too late. I remind myself and you to identify the things in our lives that must change and to change them and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek forgiveness. Change precedes and is evidence of the sincerity of repentance, of seeking forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy, He said, قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, against their souls, my slaves. Ajeeb, huh? Every time I read this ayah, I think to myself, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, my slaves who are siddiqeen and shuhada wa salihin wa nabeen, you can understand this. Alhamdulillah, the obedient people who did what Allah wanted them to do. But Allah is saying, my slaves, who? Those who disobeyed, those who denied, those who committed shirk, those who committed kufr, those who invent bidat every day, those who kill and murder and this and this and this. Allah says, they are mine. Eh? كيف ربنا؟ كيف رحمت ربنا؟ سبحان الله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, because all of this does not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do this, we harm ourselves. So Allah is reminding us of that. Stop harming yourself. So Allah says, those who transgress against themselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. For Allah certainly forgives all sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is indeed the all-forgiving and the all-merciful. See how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reiterating His mercy. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ was enough. But Allah did not stop there. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا was enough of an explanation of لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. But Allah did not stop there. He said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith in Sahih Hadith in Tirmidhi. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, I forgive you if you worship me alone and do not make shirk. And you hope for my forgiveness, whatever sins you have committed. O son of Adam, I do not care if your sins reach the height of the heavens. And then you ask my forgiveness, I will forgive you. O son of Adam, if you come to me with an earth load of sins and meet me, not associating anyone or anything with me, I will match it with an earth load of forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, we have a merciful and forgiving Rabb. So let us return to Him. The blessing of Ramadan is to help us to develop taqwa, which is the secret to solve all our worldly problems and become deserving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared the benefit of taqwa. And He said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And whoever is mindful of Allah, whoever has taqwa, Allah will extract him from his difficulties. Allah will make a way out for him from his difficulties. And He will provide them from sources that they could never imagine. Not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise to help the muttaqi, but He said that He would help him in ways that he could not even imagine. Put yourself in that place and look. What do you see? You see Ibrahim alayhi salam all tied up and trussed up in ropes, and sitting in the bowl the cup of the trebuchet about to be flung into a fire which is so big that they can't even go close to it. Look at his face. What do you see on his face? I imagine that I see a smile on his face. I imagine that I see Noor on his face. I imagine that I see even amusement, as if to say, okay, let's see now what happens. No fear, no anxiety, no worry, no depression, no despair. Why? And then what happens? This is يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. What happens? They fire the trebuchet, Ibrahim alayhi salam flies through the air, falls into the fire. And as far as the people are concerned, they have been successful. They rejoice. Khalas, we have finished this man. Burnt him. And it is only when he walks out of there safe that they know that they failed and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his Khalil. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُهُ. And whoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah alone is sufficient for him. I remind myself and you that the reward of taqwa is tawakkul. When the slave is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes the effort to get it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him peace of mind and freedom from all anxiety and stress. Tawakkul is to have total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reward for it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to feel the sufficiency for us. I remind myself and you that this sufficiency is not only for this life, but much more importantly for the hereafter, where we will need it the most. What can you say about the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured that he will be sufficient for him? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of us, to make us muttaqoon and to solve our problems and extract us from our difficulties and to keep us in the ranks of the mutawakkilun and to fill our hearts with his noor and grace and his love and his hub to be sufficient for us in this world and the next. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan the best in our lives and enable us to maximize the blessings and earn his rida. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan comes to reset our standard, the criterion of what has value and what doesn't. When we stay away from even the halal during the hours of daylight, we are emphasizing for ourselves that what makes something good and valuable is not the thing itself, but whether it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. That is the meaning of ubudiyyah. The slave has no will of his own. His will is the will of his Rabb, Jalla Jalalu. He wants whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for him. And not only accepts that, but is pleased with it. This is the essence of Ridha bil Qada, to be pleased with the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for us. We see the most powerful incident of this in the seerah in Sulh Hudaybiyah. Put yourself in that caravan. You are going to make Umrah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to make Umrah. You're going with the caravan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself is in that. But what happens? You get stopped. You cannot go past Hudaybiyah. And all the incidents of that, read the seerah inshallah. But what is the net result? The net result is such a severe test of yaqeen, of iman, that I cannot even imagine. A test for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and the Sahaba. Here is the Rasul alayhi salam who invited the Sahaba to come and make Umrah, and he is the Rasul and they believe in him. And they believe that if he said something, this is wahi. And if he said we will do something, we will do that. There is no doubt about this. Now all of this comes up for those who want to doubt. What is their desire? Why did they go there? They went to make Umrah. Their desire is to obey Allah. Their desire is ubudiyyah. Their desire is ibadah. Their desire is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of the highest and most beautiful and the most beneficial ways, which is to make Umrah. Their desire is to make tawaf of the Kaaba. Their desire is to make sa'i. Their desire is to pray. Yet, what is the hukum? The hukum is no. Not this year. Go back. Why? Usually when we say desire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will should be superior to our desires, we are thinking haram halal, right? Because our desires are for disobedience, we say don't disobey, obey. In this case, the desire is to obey. The desire is ibadah. But the hukum is no. Go back. This test was so severe that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was generally outspoken and he became the like a spokesperson for everybody. He questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself directly, which he never did in his life. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, are you not the Nabi of Allah?" He said, "Yes, I am the Nabi of Allah." He said, "Are we not on the right and they are on the wrong?" He said, "Yes, we are right, they are wrong." Then why should we do this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will do what my Rabb ordered me to do." That was not sufficient for him. He went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu and he asked him the same questions. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu gave him the same reply. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, "Oh Umar, be careful. Don't talk. Be careful. Don't lose everything. Don't lose everything Allah gave you." Sayyidina Umar got onto his horse and left. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed the treaty. On the face of it, a one-sided treaty. Yeah, we'll talk about all these things. In my view, that was the most powerful treaty that he could have signed. But anyway, that's a different discussion. So on the face of it, a one-sided treaty. And when it was all over, and a lot of things, Abu Jandal comes and Suhail bin Amr says, you know, return him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns him, and so on and so on. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders the Sahaba, because they are in Ihram, he orders the Sahaba to shave their heads, sacrifice their animals and get out of Ihram. And for the first time, for the first and only time, they don't move. They do not move. They don't refuse, but they do not move. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his rahmah, in his mercy, he gets up and goes into his tent. In his tent is our mother, Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, what happened?" She is seeing his glorious countenance, his beautiful face, which is red, which is angry. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, My ummah is destroying itself. They are not obeying me. She smiled. She said, Ya Rasulullah, this is very difficult. It's a very difficult time for them. You go out and you do this. You shave your head and you sacrifice your animals and inshallah they will do that. They will follow you. On a side note, see the relationship between that husband and wife. Who is the husband? He is the one receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Rasul. He is the best of creation. And who is the wife? Alhamdulillah, she is our mother, but there is no comparison. Does he pull rank on her? Does he say to her, who is the Nabi here? You or me? Who gets wahi? You or me? You are advising me. You are supposed to follow me. Does he say all this? No. He takes her advice. He takes her advice. He goes outside. And he calls Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says, shave my head and get the animals. And the Sahaba, all of them follow suit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals Suratul Fath. As they were returning from there, Allah reveals Suratul Fath. And Suratul Fath is one of the surahs which was revealed in entirety. The entire surah was revealed at the same time. And it begins with what? Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Allah said, verily we have granted you a manifest, clear victory. What was that victory? That victory was the victory of the will of Allah, the command of Allah, and the command of His Rasul over our own desire, even when that desire was to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which proved the point that it is not the thing itself, but whether it pleases Allah or not. In that instance, Umrah did not please Allah, going back pleased Allah more. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. And that's why I call Sulh Hudaybiyah the final qualifying exam of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, because it reiterates the fundamental criterion of right and wrong in Islam, which is the Rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sure enough, the Sulh was for 10 years, but in 18 to 19 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Makkah as theirs. Fatah Makkah happened in less than 2 years. 8th year of Sulh Hudaybiyah, 6th year of Hijrah. Fatah Makkah, 8th year of Hijrah. My brothers and sisters, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan. This is the spirit of Ramadan. This is the essence of taqwa. In Ramadan, we make what is normally halal, haram on ourselves. Only because Allah said so. There is no other reason. The idea is not to remember this only in Ramadan, but to carry this forward into the rest of our lives. Today, as we face a hostile world, only because we are Muslim. Yet we seek solutions almost exclusively in material and worldly means. We look to political leadership, like write a letter to this one, letter to that one, protest here, protest there, do all that. But if you really think that will solve your problems, how long have you been doing it? What changed? We look to political leadership, we look for money, we look for media, we look for technology, and we forget that the solution comes and comes only from one source, and that source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like wiring up a new house. You do all the wiring, all the gadgets, all the appliances, all the technology, everything else. But you don't connect the power supply to the power source, to the transformer. That house will remain dark. Your gadgets will not illuminate the house because there is no power coming to that house. That transformer is taqwa. And that connection is what Ramadan al-Kareem comes to give us. Plug it in. Total obedience is the fundamental step. Conditional step. Total obedience out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. out of tasting and reveling in the glory and majesty of Allah, in our connection with Him, which He gave us through His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That comes first. The rest, like in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, follows. Success is not difficult. Success is inevitable, but only for the muttaqi. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and protection from all disobedience, which is the real danger. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كل لا إله إلا أنت. My brothers and sisters, I ask you to make dua, special dua for our little sister who passed away. And inshallah, after this salah, we will do salatul janaza for her. Subhanallah, I was thinking, this little girl born in this world and she will grow up in Jannah. Translate for him. Born in this world and she will grow up in Jannah. Huh? Ajib. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, children like this will hold their parents by their hand and take them into Jannah. Allah will give them shifa. Allah will give them shifa. So inshallah, she will hold her father's hand in one hand and her mother's hand in one hand and take them both into Jannah, inshallah. And at the same time, we make dua for the mother of our brother Zulfiqar who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la bi ghayri hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill her qabr with noor and to forgive her sins and to give sabr to the family. A young Muslim, a few months old, and a Muslim for whom Allah said, above that age, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, above this age, Allah will not hold them accountable. Allah says to the angels, they are mine. No need to record anything. They are mine. They belong to me. We ask Allah for iman to the end of our days. We ask Allah to give us good health to the end of our days and to take us in a state of sujood to Him, physically as well as materially, as well as spiritually, as well as morally, as well as emotionally. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين آمين يا رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون في مسلم